Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, and I'm back here again. And of course, I'm still hating daylight savings time, but anybody that listened to it is probably tired of that by now. But anyway, good evening, any and all listeners out there who may be listening to yet another episode of Shut Up and Listen. I'm your host, The Voice, broadcasting live out of New York City on this May 7th, 2015. And in spite of what I might have written on my intro thing, it's kind of hard to say where to start. There's a lot of places I could start here. Naturally, what took place last week in Baltimore, and the smoke is clearing and there's still residual effects, much less the attitudes taking place, that I'll address in just a little bit. In the meantime, I just want to talk about how I got off to a fairly slow start today, period. As if anybody wants to hear that. But in the meantime, once I do start talking about topics, anybody who has a comment, anybody who wants to weigh in on anything that I'm talking about, if you're listening at all out there, you can reach me by dialing area code 714-816-4604. That's 714-816-4604. Yes, so today I got off to a very slow start, and my wife told me I was off to a slower start still because I was going to make one of her favorite pasta dishes that she always liked, how I made it. And that is a linguine with clam sauce that I also did kind of extra cheesy. I don't mean cheese. I'm talking about a Romano Parmesan loaded with olive oil. It was my own variation on the same typical linguine and clam sauce. Linguine and clams or white clam sauce dish. It's just that I did a slightly thicker variation on it. I've been to restaurants that they had variations on it like that. But anyway, I got off to such a late start, and by the time I got back with the stuff, she said all bets are off. So I guess I'll get up tomorrow, and I will start on it in the afternoon before I wind up going out anywhere because, as I say, daylight savings time had so thoroughly knocked me out of the box. And I always hated the time zone change. And I know people are saying, well, my God, can't this guy handle daylight savings time any better than this? Isn't he used to it by now? Well, the thing is, I'm basically nocturnal anyway, and I have a tendency to stay up late anyway. Anyway, I don't care if it's doing stuff like this. I don't care if it's following up on my hobbies of retrieving and searching music, especially a lot of unknown and a lot of the rare music that I like to look for in jazz or any of the, various forms of music, even the popular ambient stuff even. I mean, I do a lot of things. I stay up late and I read late. That's one of the things that keeps me up late also. So now that daytime comes around a lot sooner as opposed to the way it was before, you know, it has a telltale effect on me. So anyway, so where I am now is the fact that I get up and the day is already a little more progressed than I normally would like it to be. But that's another story. So here I am now. I'm going to talk about where we are with the past week situation, and everybody knows what that is. And everybody has an opinion on it. Whether it's an approving opinion or whether it's a non-approving opinion, everybody, because it was hard to be overlooked. I don't know what to say about, you know, the whole thing, because, you know, to put it in the simplest of terms, as anybody with any common sense would say, I wasn't there. We only know what we read. We only know what we heard. And I wasn't there. All right, now let me pull it together here. because I've been digressing and I was looking at other stuff. So if it sounded like I was wandering for a minute, it really was because I was. Now, what I'm talking about now is the riots and the looting in Baltimore in the aftermath of the funeral of the death of the young man in Baltimore, Freddie Gray. And, you know, all the things that took place after that, something that I mentioned last week, you know, and that has been a focal point with the media as well as people talking about, is the rioting necessary? Is the looting necessary? And most people can understand the rage. Most people can understand where the rage, where the aggravation comes from, especially people in black communities where they have been seeing these kind of things happen down through the ages. It's not every week, it's not every day, it's not every week, it's not every month, but here in the last couple of years, there's been an unfortunate and a bad spate of situations involving the police. And this one was almost the icing on the cake, or at least I hope it was. I hope nothing else as horrendous happens. And I certainly, or anybody, any normal or right-thinking person wouldn't want to see any aftermath as over the top as what we had just had in Baltimore, or what the people in Baltimore just had. Now, I have to... Well, I am looking at the fact of what people were saying about the situation there in Baltimore and what so many of the people were talking about, without poverty, without hope, of the young people there. One person pointed out, well, how many of those, the young rioters out there, were actually rioters who were actually out there looking for a job? Are actually looking for employment. Now, I don't know. I can't speak on that. But what I can speak on is the fact that, a lot of the people were out there just to assimilate and be down, as they say, and be a part of the, you know, the crews out there venting their rage, even though sometimes they don't always know why or if they feel totally in their heart justified, but they're following in lockstep and have been led to feel the way so much of the media has led people to feel down through the years. You know, well, I'm oppressed. I don't have a chance. I don't have any hope for any kind of socioeconomic advancement or any kind of broadening my horizon in any kind of way. I know a lot of the people feel that way. What we have here now is, I'm looking at it, and when I say look at the big picture, what I'm looking at is this. I'm looking at a community. I'm looking at a city. A young black female prosecutor, a state's attorney, a young black female prosecutor, has brought charges on police concerning a death of a young black male. And yeah, police incidents still happen. And the fact is, police incidents still happen, but unlike so many decades ago, there is public reaction that would not have happened or even been tolerated 60 or more years ago. Is bigotry still around? Yes, it is. It'll always be around. But even though it may not seem like it, it's acted on less than in decades past. The fact that negative actions still happen, and there are always going to be people that don't like you. There's always going to be people who have opinions on you. But the fact that it doesn't erode the social fabric, that's what we have to look at now. I mean, it's the history of humankind. The Holocaust happened. Nazi Germany was defeated. But you're still going to have Nazi sympathizers. You're still going to have anti-Muslims, anti-Semites, and people like, well, look at Pamela Geller, who's running an ongoing anti-Muslim campaign right now. I mean, she even tried to get posters or billboards put on the sides of buses, which did nothing but inflame those who were gullible enough and impressionable enough to believe what they saw on the side of the buses. That's the kind of people you're always going to have. You're always going to have the white supremacist. You're always going to have the black revolutionary types. You're always going to have some radical Muslims. You're always going to have people that lean to the extreme left and to the extreme right. But for the mainstream, for the ongoing social fabric, for the ongoing function of society, things have changed. You can't say nothing's changed. You can't say, hey, we're still living in Jim Crow times, because we're not. We're not, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't care if there are people who contest that or people who don't agree with that, but the fact is, you are not living in exactly the same times that you did then. Now, here, back to what I was saying, here is a young 35-year-old black female who's the state attorney bringing charges against six police. And, well, three of those police happen to be black, three of them white. And in some cases, you could say, considering what happened, it's not relevant. But considering how the media would handle it, it certainly is relevant, because I think it really would have been another over-the-top case if all six of the police had been white. I have to say that. Just like in Los Angeles, you had the homeless black man that was shot dead by a policeman in Los Angeles, but that policeman was black. So there was no way to play up the outcry with that. There was no good way to play up the outcry with that. But now, you're going to look at what you have to work with in the city of Baltimore. And now, here we are. We're saying, well, what can we do to improve things in Baltimore? Look at the tools that you have, the tools. The young lady, the prosecutor. You have a black female mayor. You have a black police commissioner. You have the head of the military, or at least the National Guard in the state of Maryland. It's a black female. Boy, there's a lot of black females there, too, huh? Isn't it? But what I'm saying is that you have enough black people to work with to get these community groups to get some kind of outreach and work and get dialogues going. It's not like you don't have tools to get a dialogue going with that many people that can be reached, that can have contact with you in some degree. I adamantly feel that. And because of that, communication is what's going to be needed in these communities. Communication is what's going to be needed with the parents of so many of these people. Sort of like the mother. We all remember the mother who has already become nationally famous, or maybe internationally famous. The one for going upside her 16-year-old son's head out there, throwing rocks or whatever he was doing, throwing at the police cars. But, and we need to get, you know, community leaders need to spend more time on what's happening with parents, what's happening with, I don't care what kind of environments the parents came from, or how they think, or what kind of lives they were living. Their needs, you're not going to save all of them. You're not going to improve all parents, just like you're not going to improve all young people. But you need to at least try to get as big a percentage of parents in shape that you can out here. And like I said, with the resources that you have in the government there, in Baltimore and in the state of Maryland, that would be a good springboard and an example for other parts of the country. It certainly would be if you could finally get working dialogues with all these people. And you know what makes it so much better with the state's attorney? I mean, she comes from a police family. So she's not playing favoritism. She comes from a police family, so she understands what it's like. She understands what police are up against. She understands how and why they do some of the things they do at times that they do it, but she also addresses something when it's wrong. So it's not like she's going to say, I'm defending cops, right or wrong. So far, it seems like she's just becoming a right is right and a wrong is wrong kind of person. And I hope that she continues to do that. I don't know what her future holds for her. I hope she just doesn't become another one of those daytime talk show lawyers or judges or something of that sort, or become something of a media celebrity with their show on cable or on some of the syndicated networks or something of that sort. I hope not. But in the meantime, back to the communities and what the communities can do. And they can, you know, it's time for communities and community leaders, and I don't care if they're council people, organizations people, or the old grassroots type people, they can understand now or need to understand now that you do have the resources within the government, especially within that city, and it can be a springboard and serve as a model for other cities to get dialogue going. And, you know, once and for all, finally, we need to get people to understand that government can't fix communities. I was looking at some of the speeches some of the people were saying, talking about, and say, you know, young people didn't know, and they were talking about coming in and fixing the communities and changing the communities, you know. And one girl went so far as to say, yes, well, you all brought us over here on these slave ships. Now you're not going to take care of us and you're not going to take care of our communities? I mean, what do you think? I mean, hey, come on now. Well, that's another historical topic anyway. It wasn't as simple as that. They brought you over on slave ships and now they owe you the privilege or they owe you the right of fixing your communities now. I mean, we are talking about then 400 years ago and now we're talking about now. And where are we now in a land where we have the people in positions that we have in a land where, you know, it's not the whole Jim Crow society that we had for decades, for more than a century in this country, you know, and people need to understand that. The government can't fix your communities and the government cannot nor does it guarantee employment. And it doesn't guarantee an education. So we have to work on ways, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have to work on ways to make people self-motivating. We can't blame it all on the community. We can't blame it all on the environment. Because if that's the case, why is it everybody? Why is it the vast majority of the people like that? However, the majority of the people who aren't like that are the ones that impact on the rest of us so much. Go figure. But that's how I'm looking at this now. And as such, I feel that now where we are, or where Baltimore is now, there's a lot in their court. There's a lot in their corner. The ball is in their court, and there's a whole lot in their corner that can be worked with, that can be reached, that can be resolved. And that's how I feel about the whole situation there in Baltimore right now. And I'm hoping that dialogue start there with everybody concerned, everybody involved. And I really, really, really hope that we see improvement. Yes, I hope we do see more jobs. I hope we do see the neighborhoods improve. And mostly what I hope for is I hope that we see more people have a community concern. A community concern, past the point of saying, oh, the Crips and the Bloods got together. And they're even working to watch out for the community. And I hope we get past the concern of saying, well, the worst thing that happened in the neighborhood was the presence of the cops, which I don't believe. In spite of all the things that have happened, I know that's not. Because since then, there have been any number, as I said, last week, the shootings have gone pretty much unabated in neighborhoods across the country. And just yesterday, I don't have the whole situation. I saw it on the news, and I haven't found anything in the paper about it. I looked in there today, and maybe I missed a small article on it somewhere. But a baby in an apartment in a bassinet. A bullet went right by the baby in the bassinet. Now, it wouldn't be the first time a child in the house was struck by stray bullets, not to mention in the street. And it wouldn't be the first time people in communities have been killed by stray bullets. I always said, if I had a son, I wouldn't worry about him and what's going to happen between him and the police. I worry more about them like I do any of my family now. If I'm going to worry, where are stray bullets going to be coming from? Because that's who seem to be getting hit the most are people with the stray bullets. And if we can make more outcry about turning our neighborhoods into armed camps as they sometime get to be, if we can make as much of an outcry about that and say, just a damn minute now, we're not going to let our neighborhoods go this way now. We owe it to ourselves. We are raising our families here. Our parents live here. Our grandparents live here. We are not going to let this be the way our communities go, and we are not going to describe this as, hey, that's life in these communities, because that does not have to be life in these communities. Once we can get to that point, then I'll see another turn in progress being made. Once we can get to that point and don't go into the comfort zone and look for excuses on why things are happening, which is what we've been doing since the 70s or whatever. Well, society made us like this. I didn't make society. Society made me. You know, once we can get past that, if you can define it that well, then damn it, you can correct some of it. If you know what the problem is, then you can get to work on it. If you know where it's coming from, okay. Now that we've found its origin, let's get to work on it. That's what should be said if you can define it so well. So now if we can get to that point, and if we can get to the point and say, hey, it's about us now. It's not about what society did. It's not about what the system it was rooted in that, yes. But dig the damn thing up and plant it anew then, in spite of what it was rooted in. That's where I am with it. That's how I see it. That's how I feel about it. And naturally, the country and to some extent the world will be watching Baltimore, much less the trial when it starts. And the fact that we had a young police officer here who was shot in the face and who died the next day. That didn't make things any better with a lot of people either. People who have extreme right-wing views, possibly, or probably. People who are maybe extreme police sympathizers, maybe. People who are starting to see, well, it's an eye for an eye kind of thing. Maybe that has an effect on them. I've heard over the years people talk like that. Well, every time one of us die, one of them should die too. All that kind of idiocy that I've heard verbalized down through the years. I'm hoping none of that, you know, comes to the surface at any point here now, too. This is what I'm truly counting on not hearing. So that having been said, God rest that young officer's soul. And best of luck to Baltimore and all the other cities who maybe possibly finally will hope to work on some of the attitudes. And I hope some of the parents, too, will rethink. Maybe that mother, this is so in the papers, maybe that'll have some impact on some of the parents out there, too, who have children that need to be impacted on the most. But anyway, that's enough of that. Now, what I was talking about also is one of those small, well, I had written it down, small annoying things. And that is gate. The latest gate we have Deflategate. Now, since there has been a scandal, since the Watergate scandal, back shortly after I got out of the Army, and that's when it started, 1973, 72, 73, and it got big after that, and the whole Watergate thing. You know, when the burglars broke into the Democratic headquarters at the Watergate building, and it became the Watergate scandal. But that's just as well, because that was the name of the building complex. Since then, a lot of times the media or people will name things, and they'll beat it to death. Anytime it's a scandal, they put a gate behind it. Iran Gate. Remember that one? And then we have with Governor Chris Christie in New Jersey with the situation of the closing the lanes in Jersey on the Jersey side of the George Washington Bridge and blocking things up for hours and just causing a mess. And this is still something that's in the media right now because heads are starting to roll now behind it. And it was called Bridgegate. And then this past Super Bowl, where supposedly the balls were deflated. And now it seems like Tom Brady is implicated in it after all. That is to say that he knew full well that the balls are deflated to the point of being more maneuverable and much more to his convenience as a quarterback. So what do you have now? You have Deflategate. And in some ways, I think that, you know, give us a break. Does everything that comes out come out have to be defined as a gate? That was called Watergate because it was named after a building. That's the only reason. Calling something a gate doesn't make it a scandal. Gate doesn't define a scandal. I mean, what are we going to do? Golden Gate, a scandal with the gold miners in the 70s and in the 1870s and the 1840s, rather. So what do we have, Golden Gate? I mean, really. So give us a rest with always calling something gate. I know it's a play on the words and all of that, but it can also throw people off to the point where they don't know how to effectively use words or use them in a more literal context. I mean, I put that right up there with workaholic. I say work addict. That's what I call people. Or chocolate, or chocoholic. And I call them chocolate addicts. I mean, has anybody ever seen any workahol? Oh, I'm going to go get me some workahol and go out here and go to work. Has anybody seen any chocolate? Yeah, I went to the store. I was looking for some chocolate, but damn it, they were all out of it. Couldn't find any chocolate anywhere. I tell you, you know, can't see any chocolate anywhere, can't find any chocolate. You know, so at least I know it's not important stuff. It's just stuff I felt like rambling on. I have a few more seconds of time left, so it's just stuff I felt like rambling on. But at least if you're going to make up words, and especially the media, I feel that they should at least try to have a little more imagination. And with that having been said, hopefully on my next broadcast, I will have a little more imagination and probably a little more articulation. In the meantime, I don't know if I'll be, because most likely I will be out of town next week. And where I'm going to be, I might not be able to do a broadcast unless I can do it remote. But in the meantime, what you've been listening to is another and the first live broadcast in a while of Shut Up and Listen. And once again, I'm your host, The Voice, and I will probably put a podcast out during the week and just record it and put it in the archive so it can be reached. But beyond that, I will see if I can do it on Thursday. But in the meantime, I wish all listeners everywhere have a pleasant good night.